Good morning. Enjoying the sunshine? Anybody watch Eurovision yesterday? Ian Collier? Anyone else? Jemima? Larry? Felician? Anyone else? Any of the teens watch Eurovision? No? One? Montel? It's great to be British, isn't it, amen? Come on, second to the bottom. I don't know what we're doing wrong with Eurovision, but they should stop it, amen? You know, today we're going to talk about training, amen? I saw this quote, I don't know where it came from, but I know Mo Farah used it, I think. The long distance runner. And it's one of the signs used for the Olympics. It says, don't dream of winning, train for it. I just love it. You just kind of snap out of it and train. You know, as Christians, in fact, you can go to the next slide now. As Christians, we are called, and this is a verse from the book of Corinthians, to have a kind of training mindset in our Christian life. You know, it says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The Bible kind of gives this kind of image of a sporting event, and certainly an image of that it requires training if you want to get the crown. Now, we're all in the competition, amen? It's not like some of you say, well, I'm in and I'm out. We're all in the race, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian. And it's the issue of training and getting the crown that separates those who ultimately join God in heaven and those who don't. You know, the idea of training came to me this week when I was sitting in the dentist chair with my mouth wide open and a big syringe coming into my mouth. And I don't know why, I've been to the dentist many times. But on this particular time, my first thought was, who is this guy? It's the first time I've seen him. I've never used him before. I sit down in the chair and open my mouth, and he's just putting a needle in there to start giving me an injection. Now, I think the first needle broke, so he took it out. He put another one in, that broke, two, and he's sitting there fumbling with the needle saying, this has never happened before. I'm going through my mind all the time was, this guy could have walked off the street, and I was thinking, I was tempted, and I started asking questions at this point, saying, so where have you come from? Where do you live? So seriously, where do you live? I almost said, can I see your qualifications? But then the third time, lucky man, he was able to put the needle in. The area went numb, as it usually does, and he carried on his work, and it was great. But seriously, my mind is, does this guy know what he's doing? Is he trained for this particular task? And Paul here kind of brings that into our Christian life, and really, all of us need to be trained. And the goal there is for all of us to deeply desire that training. Now, the alternative and the sad part to this is that you don't want to be in the race and not get the crown. Now, I imagine this scene of facing God and judgment and prayerfully being handed a crown of some kind, of some sort. But just a kind of acknowledgement that I lived my life the right way. And I hope for all of us, we have this vision of us receiving a crown. Please don't be living your lives wondering and questioning and doubting when there's an opportunity to train in order to get that crown. We all want that crown. I pray for all of us here that we do get that crown. The interesting part with this is that as the scripture says here, you get the impression that training is not something that comes naturally. You don't wake up in the morning and say, all right, here I am. I want to be trained. you know, you get the impression that it really does require a decision. I don't know about you and your children, but my children never had a natural inclination to work hard to get something. I never had a natural inclination, this is going to take hard work in order to achieve something. But Paul says here, in our Christian lives, we need to have that spirit. In fact, he even goes as far as say he beats his body. He really has got to a point where he is not being led by his bodily desires, but that he has decided that he will lead, and his body and the bodily desires will follow. And he said he trained himself. Now, the great thing about it is the crown at the end of it. But also, truthfully, is the lifestyle that we have when we are in training. You certainly do feel, and I believe, a lot better. I should talk. I've got a nice fit, big fat belly here. I'm working on it. Amen. But there's that sense we can grow. We can change. We can be trained to be the people that God wants us to be. Now, drifting through life, if you're just drifting through life, this will not work for you. If you're just content with drifting and taking each day as it comes without really thinking about being trained, you will not get that crown. Unfortunately, you will not get that crown. And the question I have for you this morning is whether you really believe in your heart of hearts that you are growing spiritually. If somebody sat you down and said, do you believe that you are growing spiritually? And what do I mean by growing spiritually? Well, having a deeper understanding of God. Yes, I have a deeper understanding of God now than a few months ago or a few years ago. You know, during the last song, I think, where it talked about Jesus bled and died to take away my sins. So I've sung that song thousands of times, but it just led me to tears at that point to think that he bled and died to take away my sins. And I was moved by remembering that is why I'm saved, is because he's taken away my sins. But for all of us, God is a Father, and God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. So really, the question I have for you in your spiritual walk with God is, are you growing in your understanding of God? Do you feel as if you are closer to God because you understand Him? Not necessarily because of your righteousness, but because of your passion and desire to know God. Just a desire to know God. You know, do you believe that you are understanding pain and suffering better? If someone said, okay, a few years ago, the pain and suffering you had, do you now handle it a lot better? Is there a better understanding in your heart for the trials, the difficulties? Or are you behaving the same way as you did many years ago, struggling in your faith, doubting God, walking away from God, having problems with God, when really God is, as Mike shared on Friday, maybe God is trying to teach you something. Yeah, these are the kind of things that help us to question, not understand whether we're growing as a Christian. You know, are you helping other people more? Yeah, are you, is your lifestyle characterized by helping other people? Because when you think of growing and growing spiritually, the goal really is certainly for us to get to heaven, but to help others to get to heaven. And that involves having relationships with other people, having deep relationships with other people, having friendships with other people that will help you ultimately get that goal of going to heaven. You know, over the last few months, years, have you seen your behavior patterns changing? Yes, this is part of growing spiritually. Your behavior patterns will change. The atmosphere in your home will be different. And this should go on until we die. They will change. They will grow. They will develop because of all the other things we've been talking about. Now, I want to talk today about two areas of training. And you can go to the first slide now, or the next slide. And we'll read in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I love this verse because it kind of puts the responsibility on you. Train yourselves! That kind of mentality. Test yourselves! Do it yourself! Leave me alone, you do it! You work it out. And Timothy says, hey, train yourself. Train yourself to be godly. You know, we all have a responsibility to train ourselves. We have a responsibility to have a training plan for ourselves. To be godly. You may ask yourself, what does being godly look like? You know, in John 14, I'll just read a verse here in John 14. You know, being godly is being godlike, all right? So when Timothy says, train yourself to be godly, he says, train yourself to be like God. You think, whoa, that's a bit, I'm happier with kind of something a bit less intense than that. Maybe train myself to be better, or better than I'm doing now. No, that's not the standard. No, train yourself to be godly, to be like God, having the qualities of God. In John 14, this is I'll just read it, John 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I love this passage because it really, I don't know what they were thinking when Jesus said this. But they were keen to effectively see God, or, you know, kind of, and Jesus is saying, you've seen God. And they said, no, just show us God. And Jesus says, you're looking at him now. I don't know what the kind of atmosphere would be like if you had that conversation. When you, it's like, what do you mean, I'm looking at him now? I'm looking at the, I mean, imagine the kind of intensity of that kind of encounter. I would just fall down and run. Think, what? God, I'm looking at God. That's it. And Jesus says, well, you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And the great privilege we have as Christians in terms of our training and what we're aiming towards is that we have Jesus Christ as our perfect example. You know, we can learn and observe Jesus Christ and see how he dealt with so many situations. You know, we can learn about his character. I know I love, for most of us, we love the way that we read about Jesus' interactions with so many different types of people. With those who thought they were Christians or right with God, to those who felt they were sinners, to those who were trying to trick him, to different situations when there were demands on his physical life to help people. And you just see so many interactions and situations with Jesus that really, hopefully, is inspiring to you and to me. And we can learn and think, wow, I just wish I could be like Jesus in that particular situation. You know, I think training, as it says here, is train yourselves to be godly. I think one of the crucial elements in this chapter for all of us is to be able to look at our lives and to be very clear and honest about what our character is really like. You should be able to sit down and write down what your character is like. I've done it, don't worry. I'm going to share it with you in a minute. Let me just write down some parts of my character that really will help me to understand, well, what am I like now and what do I need to be aiming towards? And that is part of training yourself to be godly. You know, it's very important that you do have a good grasp of your character. You know, if you really don't have a good grasp of your character, your nature, the way you tend to behave in most situations, then it's very hard to train yourself out of it. And it's very hard for other people to help you. But understanding your character is certainly a wonderful thing. You know, I don't know what your character struggles are, whether you regularly have arguments with people, whether that's your character. People know, I'm not going to hang out with that brother. He always has arguments with people. I'm not going to talk with him. Or you have arguments with your spouse, or you have arguments with your parents, teens. No? Alex? Yeah, I'm always having arguments with people. Hey, maybe the problem is with you, all right? Always having the arguments. Maybe you're falling into debt or overspending. Maybe part of your character, man, I'm always in debt. I'm always owing money. And you probably think, I'm not paid enough. Look at your character. You know, it's not nothing to do with not paid enough, it's character. Maybe it's an overeating issue. You find yourself constantly just overeating. That's your character. You just find yourself in a certain place, overeating. Maybe you've stopped sharing your faith and you've just accepted that as, well, I've stopped sharing my faith. I don't actually encourage and invite people to know the will of God, and you've just accepted that that's part of your character. You don't do that anymore. That's the way you live. Maybe you're faithless that God's power can work in you. Maybe you just don't believe that God is powerful enough to do wonderful things in your life. And that is terrible. When you start thinking that God can't do great things in your life, when you are diligently and keen to follow him, that is dangerous, because God is a miracle worker, amen? He can do great things. Now maybe you blame others, maybe that's your character, you blame people a lot. You never take responsibility, you're always blaming this, blaming that, blaming your boss, blaming your children, blaming your wife, blaming your kids, blaming your friends, blaming your parents, blaming your upbringing. Blame, blame, blame. Mr. and Mrs. Blame. Maybe that's you. You know, and I think God is great when he calls us to train ourselves. You know, I wrote down a little list. I said, let me simply try and understand my character a bit more and understand it. And so I wrote down some thoughts. And it was great for me. This week was a nice week for me. I actually got to attend the Mothers at Home ministry. Amen. This is a group of women. Is Pedro here? No? She organized the Women's at Home ministry. I got to attend this week. Amen. I don't know why I was invited, but I went to the Women's at Home ministry and it was great. I had to share some thoughts on intimacy, which was great. But it was great just seeing that maybe intimacy was an issue in character for me and for others. And maybe we need to talk about intimacy a bit more, certainly for the marriage. These are great things to talk about. I thought, wow, this is great. Hung out with Steve Soltanti for a while, ate some good food and shared. It was fantastic. But these are all things of character that you think, really, as a Christian, I mean, you'll never really get there in a sense, but you can certainly recognize and identify things in your character. But some of the things I wrote down were my being judgmental of other people. I'm very quick to take the higher ground morally. And therefore, I'm very quick to judge other people. And I can see someone make a judgment, and then usually it's a negative judgment, amen, because I'm better than them. So it's got to be a negative judgment. And I find myself making these judgments and taking a position that is really not in love. But it's helpful for me to see that. It's helpful for me to just identify that this is my character. I need to be aware of this, that if I want to train out of it, I need to be able to see that I'm judgmental. Maybe you were judgmental too. You know, one of the things I put down was being moody. Sometimes at home I get a bit moody as a man. I know no one else can relate to this, men. I get a bit kind of quiet, a bit moody, not talking to my wife. And my wife thinks, oh my goodness, there he goes again. I'm going to have to swim out to save you. That's what she said. I'm going to have to swim out to save you, she says. I'm going to have to be your lifeguard, rescue, grab you and bring you back to shore. I said, thank you very much. All I said was moody. Now you've grown in some big kind of drama. But I do get moody, and she thinks, oh no, not again. He's gone moody on me. And at first I thought, well, I'm justified. I've got reasons to be moody. But on the other hand, that's not a character of God to be moody. It's not a character of God. I hope it's not. You know, sexual impurity. You know what? This week I've been wrestling with thoughts. The weather's been a bit nice and mild. The ladies are dressing with less on. It's a challenge for me. Maybe for some men as well. It's a challenge. Every day. And I keep asking myself, why do I struggle with this every day? Why can't it just stop? And I go home and moan about it a bit and wish it could just end. Why? And I was sharing this with the brothers a couple of weeks ago. I just really just hate the fact that it's a struggle. Every day. And maybe the sisters don't really understand what the men go through. The men struggle, believe me. And even let me encourage you, sisters, well, please, sisters, dress modestly. Please. It's a challenge for men. As good intentioned as we are, we want to please God and serve God, but we struggle. Some of us, not all of us. But I was praying through this week just to really have some kind of plan or some idea of how I can deal with my desires and my thoughts towards sexual impurity and thoughts. Just with God, I just don't want it. And yet it's plaguing me and giving me troubles. You know, I wrote down deceitfulness as one of my kind of character things. Deceitfulness. I thought, now, I would say 50-50. Half the time I'm great. I'm happy to be very upfront, very direct, very honest, very clear. Just, there's no question there. But sometimes I can just see myself trying to avoid telling the whole truth. You know, you might listen and may think there's nothing. In fact, some people may think it's fine. But I know in my conscience, I don't feel great. But there's some things in my character where I just want to tend that way. I want to look better. I want to look better than I really am. I don't want to own up to mistakes or not doing things. Or even forgetting things. Honey, I forgot. That's why I didn't do it. I forgot. It wasn't on my mind. It wasn't on my heart. Be open, be honest. But this is a struggle, a character thing for me, that really is something that for my mind and my nature, I need to think about training myself out of. Getting trained out of these kind of things. You know, in Hebrews 5 verse 7, you don't need to turn there. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. We look at Jesus and we think, great, I want to be like him. Then we look at what it took for him to get there. And this is one of the verses that really used to trouble me quite a bit. Because it uses words like he learned obedience. And that's not to say he was disobedient before, but it really tries to help us to see that Jesus' character didn't just come about because he wanted it to be that way. You could sense from his prayer that he was offering up loud cries and tears to the one who could save him. But he had to battle every day in prayer. That is a great way to train yourself. Don't assume you can live a day without God. Pray like Jesus. You know, also further down in another passage, in Luke 5 verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That was Jesus' character. He often withdrew to lonely places to pray. These are the things that Jesus did to help him to train himself. Another great thing, I think, is in Matthew 4, where it talks about Jesus uses scripture often. You know, if you think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came and said, did God really say that you must not eat? Actually, God said we can eat from the fruit, but not from that one, unless we'll die. Did he really say you're going to die? I thought he said that, but... And what does Eve do? Well, I know God said that, but, you know, I'll go ahead and do what I want to do. In Matthew 4, Jesus says, at every temptation of the devil, it is written. It is written. The Bible says. God says. And if Eve had simply said, no, God says this, we wouldn't be here today, amen? We'd be living a great life in paradise somewhere. No offense to the sisters or Eve, but amen. I think we'd have all done the same thing too. But is it this sense that she was wishy-washy with what God has said? Are you wishy-washy with what God said? Did God really say I need to repent of laziness? Did God really say I don't... Did God... Wishy-washiness. But Jesus, clarity. The scripture says. God says. Why? Because he was in the Word of God. So my encouragement to you in terms of your training of your character, stay in the Word. Keep praying. Pray fervently with loud cries and tears. Wrestle with God. Fight with God to deal with the character. Now listen, if you don't know what your character sins are, that is a big red light, okay? Sit down and talk about them. Figure them out. Know what your character sins and weaknesses are. Point number two. Next slide, please. You know, this next passage talks about other people training us. The first passage was about you train yourselves. Okay? That's a challenge for you. All right? Another challenge for you is that we're to train one another. Amen? And the Bible says in Titus 2, it says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You know, Titus was here left in Crete. The first thing he said is you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. You know, we can't escape the fact that the Bible tells us how to live. The Bible tells you how you're supposed to live your life. You may have your idea, but the Bible has another idea. And our nature is to drift towards what we want to do. And that's why Titus is being called. He says, hey, no, teach what's in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled. And he goes on. The training he's talking about here is obviously on the background of Scripture. This is training based on what the Bible teaches. This is not training based on personal preference or... No, what does the Bible actually say about this particular topic? And that's a very helpful way to be trained. But I was looking at this verse. And obviously it's interesting because Titus was called to address the church. There were obviously some older brothers in the church at this time. They were, because he actually mentioned it. He says, teach the older men. I'm not sure which category. I think I'm probably in that category of the older men. Maybe. Anyone else? Larry? No. Max? Nope. Richard? No. Yes. He didn't tell the age range here, but he says something to you. Now, what he does is very interesting. I think what is implied almost is that older men are harder to teach. That's what he's kind of saying. You older men are harder to teach. So what he says, teach older men to temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, and sound in faith. And there's a call for him and a call for the older brothers and the older men to be taught by Titus. I read this verse and I thought, well, am I being trained? This applies to me as well, by the way. It doesn't apply. It applies to me as well, this idea of being trained. And I said, do I have an attitude where people can train me? And I thought, wow. Then I asked my wife, I said, are we being trained? I thought, I actually don't feel like I'm being trained. Now, we're in discipling relationships, but I was thinking, wow, can I preach this with conviction if I'm not being trained? And I thought, well, I need to be taught and trained. And that's something we'll talk about, maybe talk to Mike and Julie about. But just the need to be in constant training, as the Bible teaches here. Now, the interesting thing here with what Titus is saying what Titus has been told to do is certainly to teach the older men to be a certain way. And there's some great qualities there. I mean, one of them is sound in faith. I mean, teach the older men to be sound in faith. Now, there's something that really helps me in my walk as a Christian is to be confident that I know what the Bible is teaching, that I understand God, and I can be secure. I want to be secure in my walk with God. I want to be confident that when I read the Bible, I'm using it correctly. I want to be confident that when I'm teaching my kids, that I'm teaching them correctly. And there's this sense of, I really want to make sure that I'm sound in my faith. And that is a charger for the older men. Older brothers, are you sound in your faith? If not, are you open to being taught to be sound in your faith? You know, the older men are also called, as the younger men, to have self-control. And there's this quality, and it's worthy of respect. I thought, wow, I love the idea of being worthy of respect. Some of the Nigerian brothers call me Igwe, which, if you don't know the meaning of Igwe, it's kind of like, I won't say a chief, but we respect you. And some of them even bend their legs a little bit and say, Igwe, I'm not saying you do this, but maybe you should, amen. But okay, it's just an outward sign, okay? It's an outward sign, but really as Christians, we should walk in a way that is worthy of respect. You know, I've been working with Taiwa Deshna this week, or the past 2 weeks, and I asked him to work with another friend, so they were working together. And, I mean, I've already told Taiwa, man, Taiwa, you work hard, man, you work hard. He said, oh, thanks, thanks. But then independently, this guy comes to me, his name is Momcho, he comes and says, that man works hard, man. He works hard. And I thought, amen, praise God. I mean, if this guy's a Christian, the guy comes and says, that guy's not really doing a good job. Where'd you get him from? I'd be like, oh, man. But he came and said, man, that guy's working hard. I didn't encourage him to say that, but he just said it. And I thought, wow, you're worthy of respect in this area, my friend. You've earned it. You've done it. And for the older brothers, we need to be worthy of respect by what we're doing. People need to look at us and respect us by these kind of things. And by the way, I'd just like to welcome some of our Lagos visitors. Is it Arios and his family? Do you want to stand? Visitors from our Lagos church, welcome. It's good to see you. I hope you're enjoying our weather. This is like this all days, every day of the year. And, you know, the instructions for Titus through this this letter, he talks to the older women. I don't know why he mentions them getting drunk on wine. Maybe there was an issue with... Is this something we need to talk about as a church? Some people are not shaking their head. Maybe it's... Zay is going, nope! One glass a day is enough for me. But you've got your issues. I don't know what your issues are. But he says, you know, there's issues of obviously them drinking and getting drunk. But he is calling the older women as well. He's calling the older, mature sisters really to be in a position where they will help the younger sisters. And what does he call them to do? Some of the things, my wife kind of laughed at this as well with me. And one of the things is to, is it respect your husbands? Some of that? Submit to your husbands, what was he saying? Love. Busy at home. It's funny how the brothers kind of love these kind of verses. They kind of, they know him word for word. This is what it says. Busy at home, taking care of me, taking care of the kids. That's what it says, honey. You know what? You now you look at this and I know how to take care of my home, my kids. That's what maybe some women think. I don't need anyone to teach me. I need someone to teach me. Maybe you need someone to teach you. I don't need someone to teach me how to handle my home. Maybe you do need someone to teach you. Maybe you do need an older sister to teach you how to love your husband. I know how to handle my husband. Exactly. That's why you need a. That's why you need an older a sister to teach you how to love your husband. And he also charges the younger men. He goes to the younger men. But really, you see, and there's a call for the. And I love the way it's written here. There is And I respect and appreciate this. As a young Christian, I wasn't very wise when it came to giving advice. And so I'll give advice to brothers, and I give advice to younger sisters. Just advice. And I remember one instance, the sister followed my advice, or wanted to follow my advice. There's nothing wrong with the advice. But an older sister came to me and said, and this is true, she said, what did you say to so-and-so? I said, well, I just gave her some advice. Because she said, she went and did it. So that's good, isn't it? He said, well, she didn't do it when I asked her to do it. I said, oh. So, and obviously, I liked the sister at the time, and there was some affection there. I thought, oh, she's doing it because she likes me. And there's just some, it got a bit complicated. And I thought, whoa. And the brothers advised me, said, hey, look at this scripture. God has put this there, this order for a reason. Yeah, brothers need to be protected. Sisters, you need to be protected. Old women, it doesn't mean you can't share thoughts with the sisters or advise vice versa, but I think it's kind of saying there needs to be some order. Make sure that whoever you're talking to and use the scripture, that they're following God and not man. And I learned from that, and I stopped trying to mess up sisters' lives, amen? It wasn't going well. But the charge here is to, and you can read from that all of us need to be trained or be in training by someone. And I really want to encourage particularly the older men, the mature men in the church, to be open to being trained. Yeah, don't think that you're above training. I don't want to think that I'm above being trained. I don't need training. I know all of it. No, I don't know all of it. And he's calling this spirit of training to be a part of us. You know, there's so many things that can help us as a body in terms of our being trained. A lot of people use many different ways to help us. Some people use accountability. You know, accountability is a great way just to start to allow others to train you, because you can talk to them about specific things and ask them to keep you accountable. One of them may be in your character, maybe at home. I know for me now particularly, it could be in sharing my faith. I might just want a friend to help me to be accountable. Not to make me feel bad, but just to remind me of what I said and just help me to do what I said. And being held accountable is not a bad thing, all right? Especially if you initiate it for yourself. Please hold me accountable in this particular area. Or you can say, which we've done in our house, for instance, my wife and my kids, we're all free to pick up the phone and talk to anybody, really, if they feel things are not going well at home. Yeah, we have no, there's nothing hidden at home. You can call someone. You can speak to anyone you want to. If you think that my leadership at home, if your mum's leadership at home, our relationship isn't good, if you think as a parent we're not doing great, you've got a license to do that. Obviously, try and resolve it first somehow, but feel free. We've got no hidden things to be trained. You know, a lot of people like to see things in action. I think accountability is great, but a lot of people want to see how it works. You want to see a married couple maybe talk together in a healthy way. Maybe you've never seen a married couple talk in a healthy way before. See, how can that happen? The best way is to see it. The best way is to just sit down and observe a couple you respect, how they deal with things. Oh, is that what they say? Well, let me try that at home. It may not work the first time, amen? They can learn and see, I've seen it. I've seen how he talks or she talks. I've seen how they resolve their relationships. Let me try and do that. And that may work for you. You know, there's also the key element of one another verses in the Bible. In us being trained, we need one another. We need to be helped along the way. Sometimes people need to correct us, challenge us, rebuke us. But the call again is to be open to being trained. And if there's only one thing, well, two things you need to remember. Train yourselves is a call from the scriptures to be godly. Please have a plan for yourself. Train yourself to be godly. Sit down, understand your character. Understand what areas you need to work in to be more godly. And the second one is being prepared to be trained and to train others. You volunteer yourself to someone to train you. You ask them to help you in some way or some aspect of your life. Because really, as Paul said in the book of Corinthians, hey, we want that crown. And it says to get that crown, you need to go into strict training. Thank you for your attention. Amen.
I really do appreciate just the way that Andy shares the scriptures with us. He does it in such a very straightforward, simple way, but also it's very challenging and convicting. And in case you missed it, today's sermon was about training. Being trained. First, taking responsibility for yourself, and then also, secondly, allowing others to train you. You know, it's interesting because I didn't know what Andy was going to be preaching on today, but during the break, just before we came back for the communion, I just happened to be chatting to a couple of the brothers about physical training. You know, one of the brothers was saying, yes, I'm a bit overweight, I need to lose some weight, and I'm doing a bit of exercise and a bit of dieting, and another brother joined in the conversation, and I just happened to be there as well, and I said, a bit of dieting, what does that mean, a bit of dieting? That, you know, you eat whatever you want this day and a little bit less next, or what is that? And then I asked, well, how much physical training are you actually doing? He says, well, I do a little bit of weights. So I said, what does that mean? And, you know, it's interesting because I was thinking of a bit more conviction about this because as I've started to feel a little bit better, I've done no training for months. And I'm very much aware of the fact that I'm not physically in shape. Now, I've lost a lot of weight, but, you know, as Andy said, training starts with a sober assessment of where you're really at. And though I've lost a lot of weight, much of that has been through just being sick. And if I look at myself honestly in the mirror, I can see I'm just a slightly skinnier fat person. That's all that's going on. And I need to physically train hard. And so I made a decision, even just in fact, right before church this morning, I did 40 pull-ups this morning. Now, it took me about 40 minutes, but nonetheless, I did it and I made a start. You know, physical training requires hard work. And as I talked to the brother, who I won't mention, but his initials are ND. As I talked to the brother in the break, I said, you know, if you're going to get in shape, it's going to require a lot of hard work. You can't just do a bit here and a bit there. And as Andy shared, Jesus showed us that spiritual training also requires hard work. That Jesus, through loud cries and tears and many prayers, and being thoroughly grounded in the Word of God, that he was able to set an example for us to follow. It's going to require hard work. And the first question is, how serious are you about your spiritual training? And the second question is, who is in your life who is training you? Andy, I want to thank you just for your openness, your vulnerability. Thank you so much for your presence. Let me just go ahead and remind everyone that this Friday, that the Friday class is for everyone, and it's a two-part series that begins this Friday on being led by the Spirit. And myself and some of the members of the teaching ministry will be presenting this class. Please, everyone, let's be on time Friday, 7:30. At this time, we're going to close with one final song. Let me invite Tony and the song leaders up onto the stage.